From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 10th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Modern Pest Services, committed to offering eco-friendly pest control solutions. Learn more at modernpest.com.
The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting 31 new cases of COVID-19 and no additional deaths today. The total number of cases has now been 2,637. 100 people who had the disease have died. Puritan Medical Products in Guilford is acknowledging that it discarded specialized swabs for coronavirus testing produced while President Donald Trump visited the plant. But it says there was only a 15-minute production run on Friday so the president could see the company in action, and Friday's production was shifted to the weekend, so weekly output was not affected. Opponents of Central Maine Power's proposed power line through the state's western woods are lining up to formally challenge the Department of Environmental Protection's recent permit for the project. Yesterday, an array of individuals and conservation organizations, plus the potential host towns of Caratunk and West Forks Plantation, called for a stay of any physical work on the project. They say to avoid irreversible environmental damage, work should be on hold until federal permits are issued and voters weigh in on a statewide referendum in November. And today, the state's largest environmental advocacy organization, the Natural Resources Council of Maine, filed a formal appeal of the DEP permit. In a statement, CMP called the moves baseless. The Downeaster passenger train is set to resume limited service on Monday for essential workers and people traveling for essential purposes. During what's being called Phase 1, there will be only one daily round trip between Brunswick and Boston, with 9 stops in between. Here's Downeaster spokesperson Natalie Bogart.
We're pretty comfortable that the state of Maine has okayed travel across the border for essential travel purposes, and think that kind of providing this level of service again is important for those people that don't have alternate modes of getting around.
All crew and passengers will be required to wear a face covering while boarding and moving around the train. The number of passengers will be limited to no more than 50% of available seating. In addition, station facilities will not be open and passengers will need to go directly to outdoor platforms to wait for their train. The Downeaster has been closed to passenger service since April 12th. In weather tonight, drizzle and fog with a few showers as well, and lows in the low 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, foggy and muggy with showers and highs in the low 60s to mid 70s. On Friday, partly sunny with clouds increasing in the north and mountains and a chance of nighttime showers or thunder. Highs in the low 70s to the low 80s. Hundreds of protesters rallied outside a Bath Iron Works this morning as the shipyard and its largest union continue to negotiate a new contract. Many workers said they're upset by recent proposals from management that they say could affect hundreds of longtime employees. As Robbie Feinberg reports, union leaders say they are prepared to strike if changes are not made.
Richard Buzzell remembers the last strike at Bath Iron Works 20 years ago. It lasted for 55 days. Buzzell, who's been at the company for more than 3 decades, says it could happen again based on what he's heard about current contract negotiations between the company and Local S6, the largest union at the shipyard.
They can't try to shove all of this down our throat and think we're not going to do it because of the way the economy is and the COVID-19, because I hope they're wrong. Because as far as I'm concerned, if they give us that kind of proposal, I'm not going to have any choice but to vote for a strike.
On Wednesday morning, Buzzell was one of hundreds of workers that rallied outside of the shipyard, many holding signs that said no more concessions and respect your workers. The rally comes as a deadline fast approaches for the two sides to reach a contract agreement. Local Essex President Chris Wires says at issue are proposals that he says could potentially threaten certain seniority rights for longtime workers, such as having priority status in determining where and when they work.
That's going to potentially drive a lot of these 30-year guys out. We have over 1,200 30 years or more experience, and they have the option with 30 and out with a pension to leave, and a lot of them have already elected to do so. And we feel if this contract even remotely gets ratified, with even remotely some of the language that's in it, it's going to drive them out.
And some workers, including Mike Talbert, say they're concerned about proposals to continue using subcontractors from out of state for certain jobs at the shipyard.
Keep these ships built by Maine people. That's the biggest thing right there.
Yep.
In a statement, BIW says that it continues to be committed to the union and its own employees, and says that much of the contracting work is focused on one-off construction projects and facilities and capital work. The company adds that it, quote, understands and respects the importance of seniority, and that seniority is still preserved for the most important work-related events. The company also says that its contract proposal offers annual wage increases and continued retirement and pension plans, and notes that BIW jobs, quote, already pay on average 22% more than other manufacturing jobs in the state. But Local S6 President Chris Wires says the union is prepared to strike if the company refuses to back away from the changes.
With proposals like this the company's put out, it's inevitable. It really looks like they're going to put this membership on strike with these proposals. So I believe this is going to be the first of many, many times you see us on the sidewalks.
Contract negotiations are tentatively scheduled to end on Friday, and the current union contract is set to expire on June 21st. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
When the pandemic first hit Maine, Crystal Krohn started a free food delivery service staffed by volunteers. Krohn, whose mother's family came from Peru, is president of a Portland-based group called Presente Maine, which assesses and responds to the needs of immigrant communities, particularly immigrants from Latin America. Her initial goal was to help immigrant workers in the confines of seafood and meat processing plants who wanted to avoid infection but whose families could go hungry if they took time off or quit. But Krohn says she soon realized that the need stretched well beyond any individual community. As she explains here, the Food Brigade's reach has grown from serving 200 people back in March to 1,600 last week.
It's just, if you're hungry, if you need food, it's zero shame, zero barrier. You tell us you need food and you get food. So today, for a family of four, we're sending out 5 pounds of rice, 5 pounds of beans, 5 pounds of potatoes, like 2 pounds of onions. And we sent out some flour, maseca, to make tortillas. A lot of the foods are universal. It's more just we don't eat canned food. We don't eat processed food. That's like a really great protective factor for immigrants is that we cook, right? And that's one of like the most basic survival skills that we have. I guess I don't really have time to worry about me because I feel like I'm not okay if we're not all okay. And I can't just sit home and feel safe for me when I know that people in my community are suffering. People were, you know, putting off medical treatment because they don't know what to do, they don't know what the bill is gonna be, and they're trying to weigh life and death and what the cost of their life is. The conditions that our community members live in are congregate settings. They live in old tenement housing with narrow entryways where everyone touches everything. We're so poor that people live 4 or 5 families in a 3 or 4 bedroom apartment with 1 family per bedroom. And so how do you stay away from people when you're living with 12 other people? And if somebody does become infected, how do you isolate? For us, this isn't the beginning of the crisis. We've been in crisis for years, decades, centuries, living in poverty, being colonized peoples. That's really oppressive, and it's very, like damaging to the soul, and so I think there's something special about this moment that even though I'm so concerned about what's going on now, we have, like, it's in the light, and so people coming together around supporting each other and mutual aid, and we've activated I think 150 volunteers now. And so people seeing and people acknowledging that this isn't new hurt and new struggles, right? Like, we're not just suddenly starving because COVID happened. It's because we haven't been okay all along. And now I feel like we're we can come together across generations, across class, across race, and really address the issues of the most vulnerable people.
That's Crystal Krohn. She's president of the Portland-based group Presente Maine. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a look at the history of Maine from the Civil War through World War I. I'm Nora Flaherty.